book of Ruth, chapter number 3. Book of Ruth, chapter number 3. And then when you find that, I'll ask you to grab your Bible and find a place in Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. And from those two passages of Scripture, we will give you what the Lord has given to us for this afternoon. I don't know, and all the time that I've been preaching, that I've ever had a group of women more excited about a message than tonight. I've had women talking to me all day about tonight's message, and even come in tonight and ask a couple people if they had some Tums. And, we went around shaking hands a little bit later. I had people ask me if I was feeling okay. Want to make sure I was all right for preaching. So, but I believe the Lord has given us something for this afternoon. And so you pray for me. I certainly need your prayers. If you're in Ruth chapter 3 and you'd like to stand with me, I'll invite you to do that. Ruth chapter number 3. We'll pick up reading in verse number 8. You're familiar with our text. We'll revisit it in just a moment. We're now at the threshing floor. Ruth has come to visit Boaz. And the Bible says in verse 8, "And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid of his feet. And he said, 'Who art thou?' And she said, 'I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thy handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman.'" Boy, she said a mouthful right there in verse number 9. Don't have time for that tonight, but she said a mouthful. "And he said, 'Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning. Inasmuch as thou followest not young men, neither poor or rich, now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. Now it is true that I am thy near kinsman, howbeit there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of the kinsman to thee. As the Lord liveth, lie down until the morning.' And she lay at his feet until the morning, and she rose up before one could know another. And he said, 'Let it not be known that a woman came into the floor.' Also, he gave him the veil that thou hast with thee. She held it, and he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her, and she went into the city. And when she came here to her mother-in-law, she said, 'Who art thou, my daughter?' And she told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, 'These 6 measures of barley gave he me. And he said to me, Go not empty to thy mother-in-law. Then said she, My daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day.'" Lord, we are thankful again for the opportunity to be in your presence and in your house. And I pray for your touch upon this service tonight. Lord, I need you as I stand to preach. I pray that you'd hide me behind the book. Let me say that which would be pleasing in your eyes. Let me rightly divide the word of truth and help some home tonight. I pray in Jesus' name. And amen, you can be seated. Last week we discussed the topic of the choice of family. We watched as Ruth willingly went down to the threshing floor where Boaz was and proclaimed her love to him. For this young woman to humble herself and lay at the feet of Boaz was a wonderful picture of the submissive wife. When we took last Sunday night's message, we dealt with Ruth and the subject of making the choice of being a submissive wife. I believe that the subject of being a submissive wife ranks among misunderstood and probably the least favorite sermons that a preacher could deal with. However, it is a Bible topic and a Bible principle, so we dealt with it last Sunday night. Tonight it is my intention to deal with the role of the husband in the home. It is my opinion that the role of the husband is one of most importance. It's called upon the husband to love his wife, not just to love his wife, but to love his wife as Christ has loved the church. I want you to look with me in Ephesians chapter number 5. Look at verse number 25. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it himself a glorious church, not having spot nor wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own body. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man yet ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. I mentioned last Sunday night that the key for a wife to be a godly wife was for her to be in submission. Tonight I say to you that in order for a husband to be in his proper place in the home and in his proper place in a relationship with God, the key to him being in that right relationship is a little four-letter word, and it is the word love. He is called upon to love his wife. It is hard to dispute the fact that Paul is stressing the importance of love in these verses. Just as the wife is to willingly submit herself to the husband, as Christ submits him, the church submits to Christ, so is the husband to love his wife and treat his wife as Christ has loved the church. Now, I'll be honest with you. I believe the highest and the hardest calling is the calling on the husband to love his wife. If you do a quick count with me, you'll find in Ephesians chapter 5 that Paul said on 6 occasions that it is your responsibility, sir, to love your wife. I find that interesting because at no place in Ephesians 5 does Paul ever say, husbands, rule your homes. Husbands, lead your homes. He never says that. That just is implied when he says, wives, submit to your husbands. He never says, rule your homes and lead your homes. But 6 times he gives the instruction that you are to love your wife just like Christ loved the church. There are 2 illustrations that Paul gives us of love in these chapters. In chapter number 5, Paul gives us the illustration of the love that Jesus had for his church. If you want to know what kind of love you're supposed to have for your wife, you are to model your love after the love that Jesus had for his church. That's a lot of love, would you not say so? We'll talk about it here in a minute, but that is, he said, model your relationship, your home, your love, model it after the way I loved my church. And then he gives another illustration. This is the second illustration he gives. He said, husbands, love your wives like you love your own selves. If you'll love your wife as much more than you love your own flesh, you'll have no problems with love inside of your home. We love ourselves, do we not? We want to do things for ourselves to make ourselves feel good. That's why most of us are overweight tonight. We're not eating because we are hungry. We're not a bunch of Ethiopians about to starve to death. We eat because we like it. Amen? And we eat a lot because we like it a lot. We take care of ourselves. And Paul said, if you will love your wife as much as you love yourself and as much as Christ loved the church, then you'll be in the right relationship at home. Sir, if you want to be right with God and right in your home, you better start learning to love your wife. Allow me to show you 3 ways that Christ loved the church, that Boaz loved Ruth, that you love yourself. Let me show you 3 ways that we are to love our wives tonight. Let me show you this. Number 1, he showed his love sacrificially. He showed his love sacrificially. If you're still in Ruth chapter 3, look at verse number 13. Boaz says, tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning that if he will perform unto thee the part of the kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then I will do the part of a kinsman to thee. as the Lord liveth, lie down until the morning. Look at verse 15. And also it said, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee and hold it. And when she held, he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her, and she went into the city. We know from last week that Naomi now has encouraged Ruth to go down into the threshing floor and lay at the feet of Boaz. Imagine the shock of Boaz when he wakes up in the middle of the night and there's a woman laying there who's not there when he went to sleep. And in his surprise, he asks who it is when he awakes. And she replies, it is thy handmaid Ruth, you are my near kinsman. She tells him that she wants him to do the part of a kinsman redeemer. It is my goal to explain that next week. But I want you to say tonight that when she said to Boaz, I want you to do the part of a kinsman redeemer, this meant that she wanted Boaz to marry her. But for Boaz to marry her, it wasn't just as simple as saying some I do's. It didn't work that way. If Boaz was going to marry her, it meant that Boaz was going to have to sacrifice. He was going to have to give up some things. He was going to have to buy everything. He was going to have to buy everything that belonged to Elimelech and Naomi. He was going to have to purchase all of that back. He was going to have to purchase everything that belonged to Mahlon and Chilion. It was going to cost him something if he was going to redeem Ruth and make her his wife. But you know, the reality is that from the very first moment we've met Boaz, he has been sacrificing for Ruth, has he not? We know that when he met Ruth, he instructed those gleaners, those reapers, to let her glean real close. He dropped her handfuls on purpose along the way. Day by day for weeks now, he has been reaching her parched corn as they've ate lunch together, letting her drink out of his water pitchers. Hey, I'm saying that Boaz has been sacrificing for a long time. And he says now in these verses, I'll do the part of the kinsman. I've got no problem paying for that land. I've got no problem buying that land. You know why he had no problem with that? Because he had been sacrificing the whole time. You know why he had been sacrificing the whole time? Because he fell in love with her the very first time he saw her. And when he fell in love with her, he had no problem doing whatever it took to make her his. Hey, the reason that he had no problem sacrificing is because he loved her from the moment he laid eyes on her. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. If the husband makes the love of Christ his pattern, then he will love his wife sacrificially. The husband will be willing to give of himself in order to benefit his wife and benefit his home. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that great chapter of love, teaches us that love is not selfish. Amen. That is not love. Love doesn't seek its own, Paul says. This is especially true in the home and in the marriage.
Amen.
You think about Jacob. Boy, think about a great picture of love. It's the picture of Jacob and Rachel. Didn't Jacob love Rachel? And he agreed with his father-in-law Laban to work 7 years for Rachel. And he worked 7 years and it seemed like just a few days. He sacrificed all that time and he sacrificed all that labor because he was in love with a young woman and he wanted her to be his. And so he was willing to sacrifice to get her. And then old Laban tricked him, didn't he? And he worked 7 more years. Willingly worked 7 more years so he could have that woman that he loved. You think about Adam. The Bible says that Adam was lonely there in the Garden of Eden. God looked down and said, it's not good for man to be alone. Adam was lonely there in the Garden of Eden. So you know what God did? God come to Adam and he said, I've got a plan. I can make a help meet for you, sir, but it's going to cost you something. Would you, Adam, be willing to pay the price? And this is in between the line stuff, you know. And Adam, I believe, said, yes, I'll be willing to pay the price if that's what it takes to have a help meet. And God said, it'll cost you one of your ribs. And Adam said, I'd be willing to pay with one of my ribs if that's what it takes. And God took that rib out of him. He sacrificed, that very first man did. He sacrificed so that he could have that one that he loved. And I'm telling you, sir, that if you're going to love your wife properly, it is going to have to be a sacrificial kind of love. Amen. Often we want to be the leaders of our home, but we forget that the best kind of leadership comes from sacrifice. Yes. When a man is willing to give himself, it sets the tone of the home. If he is willing to sacrifice for the sake of his wife, then it is easier for her to submit herself to him. I didn't get a bit of help on that. I'll say it until I do get some help, sir. You might as well shout or pout. Either one, I'm preaching it. You might as well shout like you're doing everything right. Amen. Fool somebody. Your wife will know better. She'll elbow you in the side. Nobody else will see it. Act like a man, why don't you, for a change. Hey, let me say it again. If you are willing to sacrifice and do for your wife in your home, it will make her part of submission much easier. Amen. Jesus Christ was willing to sacrifice himself for the good of the one he loved. Even so, the husband should be willing to sacrifice himself for his wife and his children.
Yes.
Amen. Now let me say something right here. You grip the pew. This will be over in a minute. There's some men that they think this world revolves around them. They want to go to work. They want to hang out with their friends. They want to watch TV all night. They want to play around on the weekends. They want to play video games. They never give their wife a second thought. And then they always want to wonder why she's not in the mood when they crawl in bed at night. Amen.
Yep.
Sir, this world does not revolve around you.
Amen.
Leviticus chapter number 19, verse number 18 tells us to love our neighbor as ourself. And you know who your closest neighbor is? It's your wife.
Amen.
Put yourself in her shoes every once in a while. Put yourself in her shoes every once in a while. It won't hurt you to cook supper one night. It won't hurt you to push that vacuum cleaner around. It fits your hand just like it does hers.
Amen.
Do something with the kids. Give her a break. They're driving her crazy. Amen? That's exactly right. She likes this kind of thing. Run her a bath. Maybe even watch one of them. Watch one of them mushy movies every once in a while. Sit down and talk to her. Davina, she's got a grandmother that's not in good health, sits in a hospital bed all day long, and her papa was, in my opinion, my hero of a husband. My hero of a husband. Her papa sits there right next to her bed because she can't get up, and he'll reach over there and he'll pat that little hand, and he'll tell her how beautiful she is that day and how much that he loves her. He'll lean over and give her a kiss, tell her how precious she is.
Amen.
He probably spoils her a little too much. Probably a little too much. But you know what that is? That is his wife laying in that bed. And he loves her more than he loves anybody else on the face of this planet. And he has no problem letting her know that.
Amen.
He is sacrificing himself. He is in health at his age. He could be out doing things. He could be active at his age, but he chooses to sit there next to her and love her and take care of her and do whatever it takes to let her know that he is there, because that is his wife and he is still in love with her today. And I think that us men could do a good job, could take an example from that, that we are to show her that she is still our bride, that she is still the one that we love, that she is still the one that we care about, and that we would even be willing to sacrifice of ourselves if that's what it took to show her we loved her. I believe the husband is to show love sacrificially. Jesus showed love sacrificially, did he not? Yes. Notice this, number two. Not only did he show love with sacrifice, he showed love with salvation. Showed love with salvation. Look at verse number 13. The Bible says, "Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee. As the Lord liveth, lie down until the morning." When Ruth explains to Boaz that she wants him to be her kinsman redeemer, she is essentially putting her life into the hands of Boaz. She was in a bad place. Would you agree with me? She was in a bad place. She was a stranger in the land of Bethlehem. Her husband was dead. She was living in poverty. For Boaz to tell her that he was going to do the kinsman's part to her, it was more than just Boaz giving a promise to marry. It was Boaz giving a promise to save. He was going to save her from the circumstance and the situation that she was in, and he was going to make it better. Notice what Paul said in Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. Now he's talking about the way Jesus loved the church. He's talking about the way Christ loved the church and the way that we are to love our wives. And this may sound strange to you when I say it, but believe me, it is the role of the husband in the home. He is to be the Savior of that home. It is God's will that the husband be the picture of Jesus Christ to that wife and to those children. Amen. Now, there are some religions that teach that in order for a woman to go to heaven, she has to be married. That is not what I am saying tonight. But you think about something with me. What does it mean to be a Savior? What does that really mean? The word Savior means a rescuer, is what it means. A Savior is a person who takes someone from one relationship and places them into a better relationship. What did Christ do for you when he saved you? He found you in a relationship of sin and death, and he took you from a relationship of sin and death and placed you into a better relationship, did he not? Therefore, it should be your job, sir, to take your wife and to put her in a better relationship than she has ever been in her entire life. Amen. Your wife should feel like she's better off today than she's ever been. Amen. Feel like she's better than she's ever been. You think about Jesus being our Savior. You know what Jesus did when he saved us? He took all of our problems and he made them his very own. Yes. Even so, the husband should be willing to take the wife's problems and make them his very own. You are to be her protector. You are to be her confidant. You are to be her best friend. If there is something bothering her, it is your job to make that something better, to be there for her. You should always be willing to take her problems and make them your very own. I know how it was when you was dating. When you was dating, if there was something bothering her, if you just got the smallest inkling that there was something bothering her, oh, baby, tell me what's wrong. Oh, you just tell me about it, and I'll make it better. You tell me what's going on. Just let me, hey, you let me take care of it for you. Now she comes home and you get the inkling that she's had a bad day and you run to the other end of the house, and if she comes in the room, you pretend like you're asleep. It ought not be that way. You ought to still love her. You ought to still want to take care of her. You ought to be there for her and make her problems your problems.
Amen.
There are going to be times when she has a hard day. There are going to be times when the kids or the grandkids acted like wild animals. Now, there are even going to be days when her hair doesn't fix just right.
Amen. Amen.
Whatever the problem is, her problem is your problem.
Yes. Amen.
In those times, you are to display love with patience, because Christ was patient with you. Can I give you a secret? Sometimes when she tells you about those problems, she's not asking for your advice on how to make it better. She just wants you to listen. She just wants to talk about it. She don't need to hear you say, "Bless God, if I was you, I'd go into work and I'd tell my boss. I wouldn't let the kids do that if I was around here." You don't know what you'd do. Shut up and listen. She just wants you to listen. Colossians 3:19 says, "Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them." Watch this now. Salvation. I'm talking about being the savior of your home. Salvation means to be set apart. Does it not mean to be set apart? When a man and a woman join into that relationship, that union of marriage, they are setting themselves apart for one another.
Yes.
You belong to her and she belongs to you. When we are set apart for Christ, that places us into a relationship with Him. If you are in the proper relationship with Christ, then you should be becoming more and more and more like Christ, should you not?
Yes.
The relationship between you and your wife, sir, should be the type of relationship that you bring your wife into a closer relationship with Christ.
Yes.
Because you are in a close relationship with Christ.
Amen. Amen.
It should be the goal of every husband, and under the sound of my voice, to so align himself with Jesus Christ that him and his wife and his children, also fall in line and serve Jesus Christ. You say, "Preacher, that's a big task." Well, it's a big task to be the Savior.
Yes.
Jesus carried a big cross to be the Savior.
Amen.
And you might have to carry a big cross of the responsibility, the heavy load of your home. It's not going to be easy.
Amen.
But that's what you've been called to do. But here's the best thing. If you are willing to be the Savior of your home, if you're willing to be the cross bearer of your home, then it will not be long before you experience resurrection power in your home.
Amen.
Jesus, our Savior, carried the cross, but 3 days later, He experienced resurrection power. If your home is not everything that you want it to be tonight, then you start acting the way that God has called you to act. You pick up that heavy load of love and you carry it in your home, and it won't be many days before things start to turn around and things start to pick up. Business starts picking up around your house because you're the cross bearer and you're experiencing resurrection power.
Amen.
There have been some times in our almost 20 years of marriage that I've had to pray for my wife. You see, I want to be not just the leader. I want to love her and be a spiritual leader. And I've seen her go through dry seasons and dry spells. And I've had to pray, ask God to help her. You know, one of the greatest blessings I get in church, I like to see y'all rejoice, I really do. I like to see y'all shout, that makes me excited. But if I look back there and that little girl's got tears in her eyes, that does something to me.
Amen.
That tears me up, because I love her. And I want to be in the right relationship with Jesus Christ
so that she can be in the right relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He loved her with sacrifice. He loved her with salvation. Notice this. Number three, he loved her with security. He loved her with security. Look at verse number 16. When she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "Who art thou, my daughter?" And she told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, "These measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, 'Go not empty into thy mother-in-law.' Then she said, 'Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day.'" When Ruth returns from the threshing floor, again, I'm reading between the lines here. Y'all forgive me. But when she gets home from the threshing floor, I can see a glow on her face that wasn't there when she left. When she walks in and she's got that glow on her face, Naomi asks the question. Seems like an odd question. Naomi says, "Who are you, my daughter?"
Amen.
Naomi knew who she was. Her eyesight wasn't getting bad. Naomi was saying, "Are you still Ruth the Moabitess? Are you Ruth, soon to be the wife of Boaz?
Amen.
Who are you?" And I don't know, but I would imagine Ruth probably responded something like this. She probably said, "Naomi, he said he loves me too.
Amen.
Naomi, I believe everything's going to be all right."
Amen.
For the first time in a long time, she was secure.
Yes.
She had been down there to the threshing floor. Boaz had proclaimed his intentions for her. He had sent her home with that barley. Boaz had said, "Take this." And she walked into that house with the feeling inside of her of security like she had never experienced before in her life. And she said, "He loves me. It's going to be okay. Everything's going to work out fine. It's all right, Naomi. He's going to take care of us." Ephesians 5:27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot nor wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. In the example of Christ in the church, we see that Christ did everything necessary to present us to himself. That means that Christ saved us and he secured us. Everything that I need, he provided. In the same light, it is the husband's duty to make sure the wife is secure in her life.
Yes. Amen.
She needs to be secure in your passion for her. She needs to know that you love her more than you love anybody else.
Amen.
She needs to know that if you had the choice, you'd do it all over again.
Amen.
That you love her. That she needs to be secure in your passion for her. She needs to be secure in your provisions for her. Now I understand that some people are unable to work, some people are retired, but for the most part, it is the man's duty inside of the home to take care of the material needs
Amen.
Of that family.
Yes.
Your relationship should be fulfilling in your life and in her life, to the point to where she feels like you will take care of her.
Yes. Amen.
There should never be a doubt in her mind whether you're going to go to work and there's going to be groceries on Friday.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, I'm not saying that you're going to eat steak and lobster every night. We know better than that.
Yes.
But she needs to watch you walk out that door and head off to work. Watch you walk home and take care of your family.
Yes. Amen.
That's your responsibility, sir.
Yes.
She needs to feel like you're taking care of her. She needs to be secure in your passion and your provision. She needs to be secure in your protection for her. Whatever happened to men being men?
Yeah.
Amen.
Now, if somebody messes with my wife, they're going to answer to me.
Amen.
Now looky here, I'm not a big dude, I'm really not, and I'm not real tough. That's why I usually carry a handgun with me most places I go. I'm not doing any fighting. I'm just shooting. I ain't fighting. I'm not Chuck Norris. But you want to get on my bad side real quick? Start messing with her.
Amen.
You make a snide comment to her as you walk out that door. You have the preacher after you.
Amen.
That's exactly right. I won't put up with it. Amen?
Amen.
I'll be the same way with your wife. Yeah. She ought to feel secure in your protection for her. Yeah. Be a man.
Amen.
Ephesians 5:31. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall be joined to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, Paul says, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. The wife see that she reverence her husband. When Paul wanted to speak to the Ephesians about marriage, he didn't search for an illustration, and when he couldn't think of anything better, just chose Christ in the church. That's not the way it happened. When Paul searched for a model, something to build a relationship after, he chose Christ in the church because it's the greatest example.
Amen.
You see, the principle is much more fundamental than just husbands loving wives and wives submitting to husbands. It's bigger than that. It's a picture of the way Christ loves his church. I believe that Paul had creation in mind when he wrote these verses. In fact, he quotes from the book of Genesis in verse number 31 when he says, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother." Let me finish with this. Husbands and wives should strive for their relationship to be mutually satisfying. In the relationship of marriage, we are told that we are no longer two, but we become one flesh. God has brought us together, and we are one. Therefore, that means that whatever we do should be done with the other person in mind. Our home should be a mutually satisfying experience. And as I love her and she loves me, it brings nourishment to both of us. When we become selfish in our homes, it results in every member of that home being starved in that relationship.
Amen.
Can we determine tonight never to starve our mate in our relationship? I believe you can sit down almost any married couple that are going through difficulties. Sit them down and ask them separately, privately. You tell me what is the problem in your relationship. What is the problem in your home? And the husband will almost always say this: "She doesn't respect me." And you ask her, and she will almost always say, "He doesn't love me like he used to."
Amen.
Therefore, in order for your home to be healthy and happy and blessed of God, you must model it after the relationship of Christ and his church. And if there are problems in your home, it's an indication that somebody or both of you is out of the will of God.
Amen.
Husbands, you must lead your home with an attitude of love. Display love by comforting and caring and giving of yourselves. Wives, you must willingly submit yourselves to your husband, respecting, respond to him.
Amen.
Do everything you do in an attitude of love.
Amen.
One of my heroes of yesterday is Dr. Curtis Hudson. Dr. Curtis Hudson once said, "Happily ever after is not a fairy tale. It is a choice."
Yes.
Amen.
And you're making choices tonight about your family. I wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed, I wonder if God spoke into your heart. There may be a husband in the building tonight that wants to come to this altar and say, "God, Make me a better husband. Help me to love her like I've never loved her before. Let me be so loving that she is secure and has no doubts. Maybe you feel like you've been a good husband, but you want to be better. Maybe there's a wife in the building tonight that wants to come and say, God, help me to be a submissive wife, a respectful wife, a responding wife. I don't know what you need tonight, but this altar is open. I want to be one of the first ones down here on this altar. I want to be the best husband I can be. I want my wife to know that I love her more than anybody else in this world. And I want her to be secure in that. And if you want to come pray with me, this altar is open.